together. Thank you for joining us today at AONYC. Whether this is your first time coming out or you've been here for a while, you are welcome. We're glad you're here. We're excited to get to know you and grow in our relationships with one another. And you know, if you don't know me, my name is Mark Persing. My wife Hannah and I help lead this ministry here. And as always, I'm excited and humbled to be preaching the word today, and excited to dive into the sermon. If you weren't here, last week Rob preached a great sermon on Luke chapter 5 about how Jesus was willing to go above and beyond for us. You guys remember that? Just a little bit. It was just last week, so hopefully you got a little bit of that still in your brain and your heart. But it talks about how Jesus is willing to go above and beyond to rescue us, to call us, but also that we as brothers and sisters in Christ should be willing to go above and beyond for one another, to serve one another, to love one another. And today we're going to continue with that train of thought about really being the church, being there for each other, serving one another, and helping each other become more like Jesus. I'm excited to announce that today we begin a new sermon series entitled Essentials. All right, raise your hand if you got any like Essentials clothing, you know, the brand I'm talking about, Fear of God. Anyone in the room? It's expensive, so, you know what I'm saying? We'll make like a knockoff merch line or something. Hopefully it's not illegal. But this is our new series for the summer. We're going to be talking about really essentials of discipleship to Jesus, of our faith, and what we need to know. What Jesus says, hey, this is what you need to know if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple. And so we'll be going over some essential practices, essential convictions, essential relationships, and also just really essential characteristics of the Christian, of the Christian faith and what it means to follow Jesus. And so the goal of this series is for all of us to grow in seeing our need for these essentials of our faith, and through looking at them, to become more like Jesus. Amen? That sound good to you guys? Yeah. Awesome. We're going to do the series anyways, but I hope you're excited about it. Amen? But these are some of the things we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. Each of those boxes are kind of different lessons, just to give you a little bit of a sneak peek of where we're going. These are the things we want to dive into that we feel like, hey, these are important as we want to follow Jesus. But what does it mean for something to be essential? We hear that word. We know that word. The definition of essential is something that is absolutely necessary or extremely important. That's what we're talking about in regards to Jesus. Or in other words, you can't live without it. You know, in life, we all have things that we feel are essential to our day-to-day life. For some, it's a good cup of coffee. Yeah. It's absolutely necessary, especially for New Yorkers, right? Especially in our area. For others, what's essential is music. You gotta pop in the headphones to enjoy your day, or else it's not a complete day. You need some kind of music in your life. You know, for others, what's essential is a relationship. Right, you need that special someone. That's what you're looking for. Or it could be, for New Yorkers especially, I've found since moving here that New Yorkers feel that what's really essential is the right breakfast sandwich. All right, and the way you like that done. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, what's essential on your breakfast sandwich? Let's find out from each other. When you say, let me get them, what do you say, let me get them about? Bacon, egg, and cheese. Sausage, egg, and cheese. Egg and cheese. Cheese. This is the most important talk of our day right now. All right, raise your hand if you're a bacon, egg, and cheese on a round roll, salt, pepper, ketchup kind of person. Anyone here like that? Okay. Alright, anyone a sausage, egg, and cheese? Okay. Who's just like, yo, no cheese? Anyone no cheese? Okay, you got a couple. Alright. How about this? Taylor ham, egg and cheese. Or pork roll, egg and cheese. Any of that? Okay. debate there on the correct way to say it. But the point is, right, we have these things, they're not maybe big deal, but we feel that these things in our life, whether it's food or material possessions or social media or a person, we all have things, guys, that we feel are essential to this life. It's interesting, though, because the things that the world says are essential for a full life are not always what Jesus says is essential. And sometimes the things that we feel are absolutely necessary for our own day-to-day life, that they're actually not. And we've just grown accustomed to these things that we feel are essential. You know, or that we feel like, man, I can't live without this thing, when that thing might actually be a sinful essential in your life. It actually might be hurting your life, right? A relationship that's not helping your walk with God. An addiction, a practice that you do that you feel like it's essential, but it's actually not godly. And so it's vital for the Christian to ask, what does Jesus say is essential for this life? What are the essentials for discipleship to Him? Really what we're asking here is, what does God say is essential, not the world? What are just desires of my flesh? And what does God say is actually essential for my soul? And so this is what we're going to answer in this series, this question right here. But before we dive into the rest of the lesson, I want to just take a moment to remind us of why we're here. And for some of you who may be new, just a little bit of a history about AONYC, about our ministry here. In the fall of 2021, as a church, we decided to pull together all the students and young adults from the different New York City boroughs and decided, hey, let's get together. Let's grow in our walk with God. Let's grow in our friendships. Let's make something awesome that college students, young people want to be a part of. And so we've been meeting since then, but really we're the campus ministry of the New York City Church of Christ, right? So we're part of a larger church family that's meeting today all over New York and New Jersey. But a need in our church currently is you guys, as young people, the youth of New York deciding, hey, I'm going to take a stand for Jesus. I'm going to follow Him, and I'm going to take my friends along with me. And so we are here today in an effort to reach young people in New York City, and we're grateful you're here for that. But eventually, we won't be meeting every Sunday. We're always going to be a ministry. We're always going to be, having Friday events, doing things together. But there will come a time where we're going to send back this ministry to your local region, your local borough. Some of you are like, hey man, I don't gotta travel as far. But we're always gonna be AONYC, but the thinking here is we are training, we're wanting to become more like Jesus, we're wanting to raise up you guys, raise up leaders here, so that when we go back into these other regions of all ages, that they're like, yo, the youth is here. We feel this, we feel their passion for Jesus, we feel their commitment, their excitement. And so we're here, AONYC, it's not just about having fun events, which we do. It's not just about fellowship, which is awesome. But we're here to practice the way of Jesus. We're here to follow Jesus with all of our hearts. You know, we as a church believe that Jesus' way is really the only way to true life. We've experienced that, we believe that, we're teaching that, we're trying to live that. Amen? And so that is why we're here. That's what Alpha Omega is about. He's the beginning, He's the end, He's all that matters, and we want to help young people see that what they're really looking for is Jesus, as they're going maybe about that in some wrong places in New York City. So does that make sense to you guys? All right, so we're here to follow Jesus, to practice His way, and, you know, really that can be broken down in these areas. We want to be with Jesus, right, in our day-to-day life. We want to walk with Him. That'll help us become like Jesus, and then to do what Jesus did. This is discipleship in a nutshell. These are the things we're trying to focus on and to live out. You know, if you've seen our Instagram page, it says, practicing the way of Jesus. That's not just a bio, right, for Instagram. That's what we're trying to do. So we're not just here to hang out. We're not just here to meet new people, which is all awesome and great. But ultimately, we're here to help each other know Jesus better and find life to the full. Find where our soul is looking for. So how do we do that? We do that through our Bible study series, which shows who God is, how to build your walk with God, what it means to follow Jesus. And that's an awesome series that if you're new here, we encourage you to ask the person who brought you about that. We also have discipling groups, right, for people who are part of our ministry where we get with each other, we get in the Bible together, and we sharpen each other spiritually. We help each other grow in our faith. And then obviously through gatherings, through fellowship, Fridays, Sundays, sometimes on Wednesdays. But all of this is not the main goal. All of these things are means to an end, which is becoming like Jesus, being a person of love, and not just to say, hey, look at me, I'm someone's like Jesus, but then with that growth, to serve one another, to serve each other. Yeah. We can better serve each other when we're more like Christ. Amen, guys?
Amen.
And so this is just a little bit about what we're here for, but again, the goal is Jesus. He is essential. You know, if there's one thing that I know is essential to Christianity and to church, it's Jesus. It's Christ. Jesus is essential for life. You know, in John 15, verse 5, it says, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a humbling verse. Apart from Jesus, we cannot become fully alive as people. We cannot be the church that we see in Scripture without Jesus. We cannot be the loving friend that we want to be without Jesus. We can't overcome anxiety in the battles of our life without Jesus. Church, this might sound obvious, but we need Jesus, and Jesus needs us desperately. He needs us to be his hands and feet, but before we can do his work, we have to see our need for him. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
We gotta see, man, I need Jesus. And so I wanna ask you, do you see your need for Jesus today? Is Jesus an essential to your life? Can you not live without him? Or do you find days in the week where you do? Where you go a couple days not really being in touch with God, being in the Word, thinking about, okay, what am I doing? I'm following Jesus. I know I'm not at church, but this is what I'm doing. Jesus says he's essential, but is he essential in your life? You know, today as we kick off this sermon series, we're going to talk about how one of the major things Jesus says is essential is his church, his bride, the community of Christ. You guys want to talk about that today?
Yeah.
All right, church can be a little bit of a trigger word. We'll talk about that. But it shouldn't be biblical. Amen. So this is what we're going to talk about. Jesus' church, the first essential, experiencing transformation in community. You know, in Scripture, Jesus makes it clear that his body, his church, is essential to following him. That it's not our church, it's not our thing, but it's his church, it's his family. It only exists because of him, and it only grows because of him, and the people in his church are here for him. We're not just here for people, we're here for God. Amen? And this is important to realize, because the truth is that when you rip Christ out of Christianity, you get moralism. And when you rip Jesus out of church, you get hollow and empty religion. It's not going to fill you up. You know, you see, Jesus says, you got to make this about me. And it's crazy how quickly church can become about people and not about the King. Right? Jesus has a vision for what he wants his church to be about. And as disciples of Jesus, or if you're here today and you want to become a disciple of Jesus, we must know what his vision is for his church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We got to know that. We're here trying to do Jesus' work, so we need to know what does Jesus want for his church. His vision must be ours as well if we want to experience transformation in community. You know, like I said, church is a loaded word, isn't it? Anyone agree with me on that? Just at school, talking to friends, talking to coworkers. You know, even if you just tell, let's say you have a classmate or a coworker who's not a believer, and you just simply tell them, where are you going Sunday? Hey, I'm going to church. Even just that line can kind of make people think like, wow, that's interesting. You go to church and you're my age, or you're 18, you're 21. And sometimes people might, hopefully they'll be curious about it and ask you, hey, that's awesome, why do you go to church? But sometimes you don't even get respect when you say that. You just get like, you get a look, you get an evil eye, or you get like a, man, you're with that crap, right? Or, raise your hand, you ever experienced something like that? A little bit of like, yo, what are you talking about? We get associated with whatever that person has experienced with church, right? We become that guy, that girl, but really we're doing it for Jesus. But in New York City, there's a lot of people that church hop, that maybe are church goers, but they're not making it about Jesus, right? But there's a reason why a lot of people can feel turned away from Jesus' church, or just the idea of church in general. You know, both throughout history, both old and recent history, there's been a lot done under the banner of church, or the umbrella of church, that is not Christ-like at all.
Yeah.
That doesn't represent Jesus. And like I said, church might start with the motive of doing it for God, but church can very quickly become about people, about the leaders, and honestly, that idea of church becoming about people instead of Jesus, none of us are immune to that. That's a temptation we can all feel. Genuine people have come to church looking to find Jesus, but sometimes all they find is judgment, lots of events, and not the spiritual transformation they were hoping for. Why is this? Well, one, it's because the church is made up of sinners like us, flawed people, trying to live a new life. But also because in some cases, we as a church, as a family, as a community, we have failed to give them Jesus. We didn't love them like Jesus. We didn't show them Jesus in Scripture. And we didn't help them learn that this is Jesus' church. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's not about our style of church. And so sometimes the issue is that people come to church, but we don't give them Christ. We don't give them the head of the body. And really, until you know Jesus for yourself, church won't make sense. If it's about Him and for Him and you don't know Him, it's not going to make sense. And I know for me, just to share personally, I grew up going to church, but it's because my parents decided to follow Jesus, right? Basically when I was born. And so I grew up going to church, and my mindset was, this is what my family does. This is what we go to. And then as I grew up in church, I made friends. And so then I started going to church because my friends were there. And I wanted to hang with my friends, right? Elementary school, middle school. And then middle school to high school kind of hit me. Why do I do this? I hear these sermons every Sunday. It's clear to me that my parents go for Jesus, and my friends who have become Christians go for Jesus. But it kind of hit me like, why do I do this if I don't really call myself a Christian, or if I haven't committed my life to Him? So there was a moment for me where I had to decide, what is church all about? And do I even know what the Bible says about it? And so I started to study the Bible. I got help with that from my youth ministers, and decided, I want to know, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be His disciple? What does that have to do with church? And let me tell you, that it just clicked. As soon as I could see Jesus and who He is and how he drew people to Himself, then it was like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. Jesus is drawing all different kinds of people to Himself, and Jesus is making this community, and everyone's here for Him. And because of that, it's not about us. It does, it was like, wow, this is awesome. And then church made sense. But I had to start with, okay, but am I really practicing discipleship? Am I making it about Jesus? Church doesn't make sense when it's just about people. But when we make it about Christ, it becomes a beautiful thing. C.S. Lewis said, we don't come to church to be a church. We come to Christ, and then we are built up as a church. If we come to church just to go be with one another is all we'll get, and it isn't enough. Inevitably, our hearts will grow empty and then angry. If we put community first, we will destroy community. But if we come to Christ first and submit ourselves to Him and draw life from Him, community gets traction. What a powerful and relevant statement. Amen? You know, if we, like I said, if we come to church just to be with one another is all we'll get, and it isn't enough. Right? The people in this room, we are not enough for one another. You're looking for more than just a community. And I know community is kind of a buzzword, right? We like the idea of that. There's definitely value in it. But I'm here to tell you that you're not just looking for a community. You're looking for a spiritual family where Jesus is the head. You're looking for love, and God is love. You're looking for Jesus, and Jesus should be easy to find in His body.
Yeah.
That is the hope. Jesus should be easy to find and discover in His church. You know, us here today without Jesus, if you rip Him out of the equation today, this ain't church. You're all awesome, beautiful people, right? But you alone can't satisfy the deepest longings in my heart for love, for approval, for affirmation, grace. And so there's beauty of Christ's community that it's a community built on the very thing that we all desire, which is love. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
And so once we make it about that and we realize that, then church becomes a lot more exciting and not just like, I guess I gotta get there on Sunday, but more like, man, that's my family and they're helping me practice the way of Jesus and I'm finding a new life through that community. You know, the lie of our day is you can be a private Christian, right? Especially during COVID, we started to hear this lie that you can be a Christian and not be a part of the church. You can be a Christian and not go to church, right? I have friends that, you know, that I've met over the years that still really believe this. Say, I believe in God, but the church thing, just not for me, you know? And it's an interesting thing. I think it makes sense. Like we talked about, people have had bad experiences with church, so it makes sense that people feel like, hey, if I'm home and I read my Bible and pray, that's safe. And there's a reality to that. I get that. But it's kind of like saying this. Let's say DeAndre was like, yo, I'm excited. I'm going to become a basketball player. I'm like, all right, DeAndre. All right, let's see. And then he's like, hey, man, I've been practicing. I've been watching videos of some of the best. MJ, LeBron, Scottie Pippen, all these guys. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome, man. What team do you want? He's like, I'm not on a team. I'm like, how's that going for you? Well, yeah, it's kind of weird, but I don't like being on a team, you know? I'm like, well, who do you practice with? I just practice by myself, man. I pretend like there's defenders in front of me. I cross them up, breaking ankles. And it would become a very weird conversation. I want to be a basketball player. I just don't want to be on a team. I don't want to practice with them. I don't want to go work out with them. I don't want to bond with them and all that team bonding stuff. You know, that's kind of the equivalent to when we say, I really love Jesus. I'm just not about the church thing. Right? It's like, I love the idea of church. And I love the idea that Jesus presents of it. But I think I'm just going to try to do this Christianity thing on my own. We do that. We hear that. We honestly can hear from the world and even from media that, hey, that's cool. When really, we got to realize, man, I need community. Christianity, it's a team sport. You know, that might be something you already know, but I think it's a good reminder. It's only something we can do together. It's not something we can do alone. Ruth Haley Barton, who's written a lot of great books on life together and community, she says this. It is the lack of community, a privatized approach to transformation that fails to see other people as necessary instruments of God's grace that limits the work of transformation in our lives. Man, that's true. When we don't see that Jesus says, hey, you need my body, you need my people to grow, when we don't see that, we're going to be discouraged because we won't experience that transformation we want. You know, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, let's read this verse 17 to 20. He says, He, meaning Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This is a really key passage when it comes to understanding really the heart of church. And it makes it clear that Jesus is the head of the church, meaning he's not only the brains or the one who brings order, but he's the heart, he's the why, he is the ruler, he has the final say. And so when someone decides to make Jesus the head of their life, they're also going to experience his body. His church is his head of the church. But you can't have a relationship with the head and not have a relationship with his body. And so when someone decides to make Jesus Lord, they're going to have an opportunity to have the gift of church. It's a gift to follow Jesus. It's a gift that even calls us into a new life. And then it's also a gift that he blesses us with, this community that we get to do it with. You know, if you think about the initial formation of Jesus' community, the Christian community, it begins with Jesus and his invitation to be with you. Right? The disciples became Christ's community, not because they weren't drawn to each other, right? They weren't seeking some sort of like social experience, but they were called first and foremost to be with Jesus, and by the virtue of their relationship with Jesus, they came into relationship with each other, right? Does that make sense? And so when we're making our life about following Jesus, then Jesus brings us some best friends. Jesus brings us some people to do that with. And that's got to be our heart, that, hey, here at AONYC, I'm here first and foremost to grow my walk with God, but as I'm doing that, as I'm seeking God and other people are, we're meeting at the feet of Jesus. We're learning from him together. And so, you know, you got to ask yourself, do I want that? Do I want Jesus more than just the community? Community is going to come, but only through Christ. You know, my wife Hannah and I, we've been starting to study out spiritual formation or the spiritual disciplines more. Things like prayer, solitude, fasting, things like that. And it's been really refreshing for my walk with God. You know, some of us here are about to go to a camp on spiritual formation. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But one thing I've been learning from, you know, books and things about spiritual formation is that if Christ is not forming me, and if these core practices found in Scripture aren't forming me, then something else outside of Jesus is forming me. Something else is. You know, as a disciple of Jesus, I want to be formed. I want to be molded into the likeness of Christ, but I also live in this dark world, surrounded by things that aren't Christ. And so I've been learning how much more intentional I need to be to let God through his word and to let God through his people, through these relationships, that's what needs to form me more than anything else. Amen? Because the truth is that we're all being formed by something. Things of the world or by God. You know, I put some examples on the screen of things that could be forming you right now, maybe more than you think. And I know and trust that you're here today because you want God to have the greatest influence on your life. You want his voice, his teachings to be most present. You want God to transform you. And you want Jesus to do that. You're like, Jesus, I'm here. I'm seeking you. I'm reading my Bible. And one of the ways Jesus can transform us and form us to be like him is through his body. Right? It just makes sense. When we say to Jesus, I want you to mold me. I want you to make me like you. He doesn't just say, spend time with me. He also says, get to know my body. Spend time with my people. I truly believe that you can find the Jesus you're looking for through relationships in his body. But how is that going for you? Letting God and his community help you. Are there other things forming you more than Jesus and his church? Jesus in his body. Think about that. Are there people who are rubbing off on you and influencing you more than Jesus in his body? Or are there people in your life who haven't made Jesus Lord, haven't decided to follow Jesus, who are forming you more than the believers in your life, right? Who are influencing you more? You know, in the relationships you have with other disciples, for the disciples in the room, we got to ask ourselves, with these friendships I have with my brothers and sisters, is Christ really at the center of it? Is he really the glue? Is he really the thing that brings us together more than anything else as disciples? This is good for all of us to ask as Christians. Hey, is this friendship helping me know God better and become more like Jesus? You know, for us as disciples, when you spend time with one another, do you talk about what you're learning in Scripture? Do you talk about what God is teaching you? Do you decide to pray together? And when things come up that you feel like, man, I don't know if that's the best for you, bro, or the best for you, sis, do you in love challenge each other and point each other back to Jesus as disciples to help your fellow sister or brother reflect on their walk with God, reflect on something that they may need to repent in? Really all I'm asking here is, when you look at your friendships with disciples, is Jesus the focal point? Or is it what your hobbies are, what you like, things you like to do together? What's really the glue? And that's something to think about for all of us. You know, Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. Love this verse. We need to live this out. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meetings together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I just want to read the NLT as well. I like the way it words. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so this has got to be, as disciples of Jesus, that when we think about our friendships, when we think about when we're together on Fridays, whether it's in Central Park or at the penthouse, or when we're here, and you know, today after church, when we go get lunch, or when we go hang out together, that we're thinking about, how can I think of ways to motivate my sister in Christ? How can I think of ways to motivate my brother towards acts of love and good works? Meeting together isn't just about saying we had a meeting. We meet to encourage one another. We come together to help each other and get the encouragement we need. Does that make sense, guys? Right? I love our meetings. I love our gatherings. But again, even the events we do are a means to an end, which is encouraging one another so that as this day draws near, Jesus coming back, that we're ready, that we're drawing closer to Jesus now. So when he comes, it's not as scary, but it's like, yes, my King, I get to go be with you, and I'm going to be with my spiritual family in heaven. Meeting together, a lot of why we're here today is so learn about God, to worship him, and to encourage one another. That's why we're here. And that doing those things brings a lot more fun and joy than sin. But sometimes, you know, we're looking for fun, but sometimes getting corrected and getting encouraged might not always be fun. But it's better than living in your sin, right? It's better to receive this than to stay at home and have an easier day. Right, but this is why we need each other, because when we don't get encouragement, our hearts get hard. And we start believing these lies that I don't need his church. I don't need Jesus. I don't need that brother who's been trying to help me. I don't need that sister who's been trying to get in my life. Because I'm telling you, if you don't let Christ form you, the world and its craftiness and deceitful scheming is going to form you. It's going to mold you. I'm going to skip over to John 13 here. These are the words of Jesus. As we think about being his church, being Jesus' church, for me, this is like a scripture that we all got to write on our hearts. It's So when Jesus says, a new command I give you, as he's talking to his disciples, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is the call. This is the standard for all of us who want to follow Jesus. And thank God, Jesus didn't say, a new command I give you, love one another when it's convenient. Love one another when you feel like it. Love one another kind of like James and John do. You know, they make mistakes. No, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Right? How did Jesus love you? How did Jesus love us? Jesus took on the darkest parts of yourself, the wrath of your sin, willingly lived a life of suffering for you and me. Let us kill him for him to show us his love and grace, resurrecting from the dead. And the Bible says it's all because he wanted to for you. It's not because of anything you've done. That we're saved by grace, not by works. Jesus loved you with such a sacrificial love. He loved us with such an intense love and unconditional love. And he's telling us as disciples in the scripture, love one another with that kind of love. And if you do that, man, New York City is going to know that you're Jesus' followers, that you're Jesus' church. If we don't love each other this way, with Jesus' love, then everyone will not know that we're Jesus' disciples. Everyone will not know that there's a church, and it's called AONYC in New York City. This is challenging when we're really honest about it. But how is it going? Getting strength from God's love for you to love the disciples in your life with Jesus' love. We got to ask ourselves that. If we do this, we can see transformation in our midst. And I'm really encouraged because, I don't know about you guys, but it's been really cool to see this community grow. There's a lot of people here today that a year ago, we didn't know your name, we didn't know who you were, and you're here. We're so grateful you're here. And you're getting to know Jesus, and you're becoming a part of this community. But it's only because we're trying to do that. We're all here today because we're trying to live out this teaching. But when we love with this love, it can change the world. You know, Bonhoeffer said this, small acts, when multiplied by millions of people, can transform the world. Small acts of love. Maybe today you're just going to give someone an extra long hug and a real genuine, how are you really doing? And that's what they needed today. And you multiply these small acts and these conversations, and that spreads, and people experience the Jesus they're looking for in church, and then the world starts to change. But it's not going to change just when we sit at home and think about God or read it. That'll start to change your life, but really things are going to change more when we make it about Jesus and being his church. Amen. And so, you know, community is important, but the main thing we need to realize is that this community here is about Jesus. It's about pointing each other to him. It's about growing in our discipleship to him. The only community where Jesus can be found is in his church. And the only community where you're going to experience real life change and repentance and transformation and overcoming the very things that rob you of life, that community is found in Jesus, is found in his church. As we come in for a landing here, we're going to have a time of discussion in just a minute to you know, unpack this with each other a little bit. But I want to close with reading this passage. This is our aim as a ministry. This is our vision. This is a description of the first century church right after the gospel is preached, right after people realize who Jesus is. And as we read this, I just want you to think about, man, how does this excite you? Right? How is this something you long for? And how is God using you to create this? Amen. Let's read this together. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. everyone, right? Not just some of them. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I mean, this is beautiful. This is what church should be. We're not always going to be perfect, but this is what we should be experiencing. But it starts with those first words. They devoted themselves. It doesn't say they were told to. They were forced to devote their lives to Jesus. They devoted themselves. This goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. When we come for Jesus, and we come for saying, hey, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to give my life to you. We devote ourselves to the teaching, right, found in Scripture, to fellowship, being together, breaking the bread, and to prayer. And then we get to experience church. But that only happens when each of us as individuals are devoting ourselves to God. Does that make sense? When we're saying, I'm here to grow in my walk with God, I'm going to devote myself to these things. And when a group of people all does that, that's when we get these other things. They were together, had everything in common, right? Because their everything was Jesus. They were sacrificial, sold property and possessions to get to anyone who had need, right? Because we're following Jesus, we meet each other's needs. Because Jesus met other people's needs. And so this is what we're trying to live out. And I love that it says at the end, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jesus' church is not a dead church, it's a growing church. It reaches people because we're loving people. We see people become Christians, repent, and get baptized. And it's been so cool to see that happening in our midst. But don't you guys want to see more of this in our church? Don't you guys want to see more awe, more encouragement, more times where we leave gatherings, we leave fellowship times together, and we're like, man, that was like so refreshing. Like, I didn't want to come today, and I left Sunday, I left Friday, I left that discipling time, like, so grateful for you. Right? We want that, but we have to make it about Jesus if we want to experience the blessings of His church. Amen? You know, if you're a disciple in the room, I really just want to encourage you to think about how can you fight to make your friendships more spiritual? To think about, hey, how can I make these relationships more about Christ? Maybe this summer it's have more times with God together. Thinking about, hey, finding ways to pray for each other. You know, maybe God's calling you to kind of mentor someone more, or to be mentor, to be disciple. But as a disciple, think about how can I make my relationships in His church more about Him? You know, if you've yet to decide to follow Jesus, but you're really interested in following Jesus, you know, I just want to encourage you, whoever you're getting to know here, whoever you're building a friendship with, really go after that. Fight for that friendship with someone who you feel like you look up to, that you feel like, hey, what they have with God, I really want that in my life. Set up time. Get in the Bible with them. You know, plan time each week, but let's not be people that give an excuse of like, oh, maybe that person's busy this week, or I don't know, do they really want to get time with me? The odds are we all want to help each other know Jesus. We want to get time together. We just have to smash those lies that say, do they really care about me? Do they really want me to know God? We, as a church, we want everyone to come to know Jesus for himself. So wherever you're at, fight for relationships that are going to point you back to God. Amen? And so again, we're going to be talking about some awesome essentials. We're going to be talking about some things that we need. We need convictions. We need these things we're going to talk about. But all of these essentials start with the number one, which is Jesus. And as we come to Jesus, as He draws us to Himself, He blesses us with His community, with His church. And so let's be a ministry, guys, that we all say, not just by our words, but by our actions, that Jesus is an essential in my life, and his church is just as essential. Amen?